Jacks and Start Daddy Show. Welcome to the Relaxed Back with my dad, John Gifford. Hit it, Dad!
Smart moves.
Absolutely. So we're going back to that one stretch, sitting in a chair. That seated hip stretch is definitely one of the most requested movements that I get from my clients.
Get schooled.
And one of the amazing things is many people aren't aware that according to many studies, there are just as many people with herniated discs who have no pain as those who do. You know, that's one thing.
Take it inside.
Exactly. And what a lot of people aren't aware of is that they think they're tense because of a feeling, and usually it's the resistance to the existence of that feeling that makes them tense. And that's important because tension increases muscular pain.
It's all here, right now.
You know, I agree. I mean, maybe talking about pain and tension isn't always exciting, but here's the question. You know, if you wear out your body, where are you going to live? I mean, that's the kind of question we're starting to look at. Well, thank you there, Jackson and Cassidy. This is John Gifford, another episode of The Relaxed Back. Now, before I go on, I have to remember that, you know, the first two voices are my son Jackson and my daughter Cassidy, not exactly in that order. But there's also another voice there, and that is of Allison, who runs all of our operations here at MotionWise. And I can't believe I left her out, but without her, this organization certainly would not work. Well, this week, here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at two items. And the first thing we're going to look at is an article from my book that starts to look at the psychological aspect of pain and tension. You know, it's pretty hard to find that any other information other than the fact that there's really one organ, and really only one organ, that can generate systemic muscle tension in the absence of pathology. And that's the brain. Now, what's interesting, when most people are coming in, they're referred to me in pain, or when the pain clinics I've worked with, one of the most common areas that we forget to look at is the person's tension level as not something that's a symptom of the pain, but that is actually involved in the generation of the pain. And probably one of the most prolific authors on this subject is John Sarno. There's Mark Sofer, who's written a fantastic book. You have Dr. David Schechter in California, who are looking at what they call distractionary pain syndromes or tension myositis syndrome. But today, what I'm just going to focus on is an article on how important our tension can be with regard to pain. I had a physician who was a client some time back, and when she came in, she was saying that her neck and shoulder discomfort was due to the fact that she does so many surgical procedures every day. And, you know, so I said to her, well, that certainly could be part of it. And she says, well, what do you mean part of it? She said, that's why I hurt. You know, I'm hunched over all day, and I'm doing procedures. Well, she wasn't really thinking critically about her pain, even though she has a high degree of scientific training. Because the truth is, we can find other people who are bent over doing procedures every day who aren't having her level of pain. And I posed the question to her, what organ is the one organ that can generate tension besides your muscular system in working in hunched over positions? And she had this puzzled look on her face, and I said, well, it's the brain, isn't it? And she gave me this very intense look. And I said, what are you thinking? And she said, first of all, I'm thinking I don't like what you're saying right now. And second of all, I can't argue with you. Now, people seem to have a really hard time acknowledging that their brain can be playing any part in their painful symptoms. But one study that I think is very interesting is a study out of North Dakota State University where they gave pens to 112 patients with asthma and crippling rheumatoid arthritis, and they asked them to write about some of the most stressful experiences of their lives. Now, the remaining patients were told to write about non-meaningful subjects. 4 months later, the scientists were amazed to discover dramatic improvements in those who expressed powerful emotions. Now, the sufferers who wrote about neutral topics reported fewer gains. Scientists are speculating that the repressing painful emotions raises the levels of stress chemicals in our bloodstream. Cortisol might be one of those. And that these chemicals, in turn, suppress the body's disease-fighting immune system and also increases general systemic muscular tension. You know, the muscle system is one of the first systems to respond to stress. If I were to yell fire, whenever I do this in my seminars, we have the whole front row of people jump almost out of their seats. Well, the muscles were the first organ system, the first system to respond to that stressful aspect of my presentation. The muscles were the first to go. You know, I was talking to my mother about this, and she had said that she had read an article about repressed emotions, and it talked about one of the sidelines was if you don't throw them out, you'll keep heating them up just like leftovers. And I'm also reminded of the old saying, one of my dear, dear clients from many, many years ago, that what we resist persists. I really suggest you go on the internet and check out this. Do a search on tension myositis syndrome, distractionary pain syndromes, because it's something we're going to be talking a lot in our podcast, but it's also important for you to find out for yourself. And as I've always said, don't take anything that I say or any professional says as the truth, the be-all and end-all truth, because pain is just too complicated to try to wrap it around one person's idea or concept. It's very complicated. There are many factors, but I think what I'm going to be able to try to get across, there are a lot of factors I think people aren't looking at. Now, what you might want to do is check out journaltherapy.com, or there's a really good book called Journal to the Self. If you wanted to try to experiment with journaling and try to see if that made any difference in your symptoms. What some of my patients do is for 7 days, they'll set a timer for 5 minutes and have them write down any feelings they either don't want to admit that they exist or that they wouldn't want anyone else to know they're feeling. The reason for that is because those are the type of feelings you're trying to get people to start to be aware of. Not to change, but to be aware of. There's a big difference there. You start trying to change how you feel, that creates a whole nother level of systemic tension, which we're going to talk about in later podcasts. So don't be surprised if next time, you know, you go to your doctor and you go in there with a back pain and they take out a pen and paper and give it to you. So till next time, that is John Gifford for the Relaxed Back on that issue. There is one more issue I want to talk about before I end on this podcast, and that is I had a client in last week, and she came in with a situation that actually is quite common. And if there are health professionals out there that want to direct me to the science that they're basing this procedure on, I would certainly love to hear about it, and maybe it's going to turn out that I'm in error. And that's really, I just want to find out where the evidence is going to lead us on this. I had a client come in who was having a lot of upper back pain, and she had been through this course of therapy, and the one thing they were having her do was to stretch the trapezius muscles. Now, the trapezius muscles is one of the largest muscles of the body, starting from the neck, draping across the shoulders, going down to what we call the last thoracic vertebrae. And it's the muscle that when the upper fibers shorten, it will raise your shoulders up to your ears. And what they were having this person do, she had what's called a kyphotic posture, which means she had rounded shoulders, basically. And so what they were having her do was to strengthen her trapezius muscle because the middle fibers of that trapezius can pull the shoulders back. So they had her doing repetition after repetition of strengthening the trapezius muscles to hold the shoulders back. Now, here's what I don't understand. If you're sitting in your chair or if you're walking right now listening to this podcast, take your shoulders, round them forward. Now, pull your shoulders back. If you can do that, there's no need to strengthen your trapezius as I see it. Adding another 1 or 2 pounds of bulk on the trapezius isn't going to make any difference in your body's ability to hold yourself straighter. Posture is a habit, and if you stand straighter, those muscles in the trapezius will automatically strengthen as a result of the increased resistance placed on them. And oftentimes what happens, as it did in the case of this individual that I saw, instead of trying to strengthen the trapezius muscles, we used some deep tissue body work, gave her some stretches to actually relax the trapezius muscle, and then relaxed actually where we focused was not the muscles in the back, but her pectoral muscles, the muscles in the chest. And that, combined with some simple stretches she could do in a doorway to help open up those chest muscles, is what really made the difference for her. So that's something I really want you to look at. Be careful. If you're strengthening muscles over and over again to try to straighten your posture, especially the upper back muscles, it doesn't seem to make scientific sense. I haven't been able to find any scientific reason why we would do that. And oftentimes it just generates more tension for the individual. So that's what I want you to think about this week. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time on The Relaxed Back. Hey everyone, this is John Gifford, and I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of The Relaxed Back. Feel free to email me with your questions or comments. I would love to hear from you. All previous episodes, as well as our contact information, can be found at therelaxedback.com or by searching The Relaxed Back in iTunes. This podcast is sponsored and owned by my company, MotionWise, which is devoted to helping people reduce muscular pain and tension by providing hands-on muscle care, educational trainings, and self-help resources such as my book, The Relaxed Back. Visit MotionWise.com to learn more about our services or to have me speak to your company, convention, or institution. Till next time, stay loose.